Hello, and welcome to the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. My name is J.R. Everhart from Restoration Ministries. I'll be your host today as we enter the labyrinth of truth and transparency, where we look through the lens of God's Word into the human experience of our day-to-day lives. Whether it's recovery principles that you're hungry for, or you're just looking for some answers about Christianity, you've come to the right place. Nothing is off the table on this podcast, and we dive deep into everything that affects our day-to-day walk. So don't go anywhere. I'll be right back with today's content. Hey guys, I wanted to take a second to just plug my company, CLP Audio and Staging. That's right, we have added a mobile stage to our inventory here in the world of CLP Audio. It's been hugely successful, and it's an amazing tool to be able to provide turnkey events, especially like outdoor kind of stuff in the warm weather months and that sort of thing. But as always, we're still doing all of our install side and all the things that you have come to know and love about CLP Audio. You can find us online at clpaudio.com. You can find us on Facebook. Just search CLP Audio and Staging. We're on Instagram as well. Another thing that has kind of come about in 22 has been the creation of the Grumpy Sound Guy. The Grumpy Sound Guy is a TikTok personality that I've created. Basically, it's me as a sound engineer just kind of ranting and raving about the frustration of working inside the music business and working with churches, working with nightclubs, working with festival promoters, the whole nine yards. So make sure you check that out on TikTok, the Grumpy Sound Guy. And there's also a YouTube channel that's very educational. The TikTok personality is more kind of rant and entertainment based. The YouTube channel is a little bit more serious, and I'm really just genuinely trying to put some information out there that can help people grow in their skill set as sound engineers and that sort of thing. So make sure you check out the Grumpy Sound Guy on YouTube as well. And let's get on with the program. Hello and welcome back. Today we're going to kind of touch on a subject that is super popular right now in recovery circles and in psychological circles and in the culture of psychology and, you know, people trying to get past the things that are hanging them up and getting in the way of their freedom, getting in the way of them being able to see the patterns in their life, the things that are negatively affecting them. And we're going to kind of just, you know, really talk about, you know, what lies beneath it all, you know, what lies beneath. I know that was a movie title from a movie a bunch of years ago. But, you know, it's kind of what goes on in our life, you know. It's the things that are underneath of the surface that tend to manipulate our behavior and manipulate our reactions to life stresses and trauma and, you know, things like that. So, we're basically going to be talking about dealing with hidden trauma. You know, there's a bunch of books out right now dealing with this. You hear people talk a lot about trauma work, quote unquote, and I'm not taking anything away from any of that. It's very, very important. But it can be tricky to navigate. It really can, because as you uncover these things, it tends to open up or trigger other things in our personality, other things in our hurt and our pain. So I highly recommend that you take the time to walk through the trauma work with someone who's had training in trauma work. There's some books you can get. Body Keeps the Score is probably the biggest one that I know of, the most popular, you know, book, both in and outside the Christian culture. It's a very good book, and it really uncovers different ways. We're just going to kind of graze across this topic because it's very deep. But I'm gonna share some things that I've learned in my own walk in dealing with my own trauma. I have a whole crazy truckload of trauma that I went through as a kid. Honestly, I'm still unpacking some of it. Even after, you know, 10 years in recovery and trying to figure all this out, I think I'm like that 85-90% through most of it, you know, but I think some of it is still laying in the basement, as some would say, and needs to be dealt with. So I'm going to share some experiences and some things that I've learned through my own trauma work and through the things that I have been able to find victory in, and just some patterns that I have seen surface in people that I've counseled over the last 10 years, because this is a very common thing. So let's just dive right in. A person that is afraid of or simply doesn't know how to deal with the pain and trauma in their lives will always act out that pain toward those they love. There's a saying that hurt people hurt other people. It's so true. I've seen this play out over and over in my own life and in the lives of those that I've counseled over the years. I think someone said, I can't remember the book that I got this phrase from, but they said something to the effect that if a person doesn't know how to hurt, then they take that hurt out on the people around them. And that really kind of hit a nerve with me, because I'm like, what do you mean don't know how to hurt? If you cut me, it's an instinctive thing. I hurt. You know, but when you're talking about psychological trauma and you're talking about, you know, personality, you know, based issues, sometimes we bury that stuff to keep from having to deal with the pain. And when we bury that, it just festers. It absolutely festers. For some people, it comes to the surface in their teens. Your teenage years is a massive psychological catalyst for a lot of things. Like the people who argue that addiction isn't a disease will argue that how come you didn't have it when you were 7-8 years old? Well, a lot of times it's that catalyst of puberty and the catalyst of what it is to be a teenager that brings the issues to the surface. So some people, you know, dive into this kind of stuff and really understand and allow themselves to feel the pain of their trauma early on. Most people that I have seen, and in my own life, I didn't start unpacking this stuff until I was in like my late 30s, you know, something like that. I was in a group counseling session one time with a very good and talented counselor friend of mine, and she was working a 15-year-old boy through some sexual abuse. She had asked me to be there because I went through that sort of stuff. And the kid was there with his aunt and his mom, and, you know, we're trying to work through this stuff. We send the kid out of the room, and then, you know, my friend is just talking with the parent and the aunt, and, you know, they just don't understand how he can't get past this. You know, they understand that he's been hurt. They recognize that. They hear his cries for help, but they don't understand why he can't just deal with this and get past it. And then my counselor friend looks at me and she's like, you know, share your story with them. And the first thing out of my mouth was, you know, I didn't really start unpacking the nuts and bolts of this until I was in my late 30s. I mean, I started talking about it in my late teens, but then just got all wrapped up in life, you know, during my 20s, and really didn't do a whole lot of work in trying to figure it out. Went through my first divorce when I was 30. That definitely catapulted me into a whole whirlwind of compulsive behavior. I kind of got into survival mode, which is a mode we get in when we're going through intensive pain, where we'll do things outside of our normal character traits. We'll sometimes compromise some of our core values. It's all an attempt to try and survive the pain and the hurt that you're going through. So I definitely went through some years like that through my early to mid-30s. By my mid to late 30s, I realized, hey, there's something deeper going on here, and I really got into some heavy-duty counseling and started working through my stuff. And to see the look on this kid's, you know, siblings' you know, parent and aunt's faces. It was just mind blowing. They're like, really? You're like, he's, I'm like, the guy's not going to deal with it until he's ready to deal with it. You know, right now he's packed it up and put it in a safe place in the back of his mind so he doesn't have to deal with it and deal with all the shame and the guilt and all the craziness that goes along with, you know, the psychotic roller coaster that is dealing with, you know, sexual abuse. And it was a real breakthrough. You know, we had a real breakthrough in that session, you know, being able to communicate to the kid's, you know, mom that, look, you're going to have to be patient with this. And you're just, you know, he was like 14, 15 years old. You just got to hold on and ride out the storm until he gets into a place where he's ready to deal with this. Because until he is, he's not going to. And you'd be surprised how many people are living that even into their 40s and 50s, where they've never stopped and really dealt with that stuff. They haven't allowed themselves to feel that pain. They haven't allowed themselves to work through that trauma. And the only way you can do that is to kind of just go back to that with a counselor and close your eyes and really put yourself back into that situation and feel that hurt and that pain and release it. You know, and let go of it. So let's keep moving on here, because it, like I said, this is a very deep subject, but I'm just trying to hit the big core, you know, pillars that this thing stands on. But it's not easy looking back into the face of your pain. We're all just hurt children walking around in adult bodies. Let me say that again. We're all just hurt children walking around in adult bodies. I know when I look in the mirror, I see an overweight 10-year-old kid that never got a chance to develop like other boys and girls. My innocence was robbed from me through years of sexual abuse and torture. But for most of this, well, for most, this is not the case. It doesn't always have to be some crazy, horrible story like I have, you know, and probably 75-80% of the people that I've counseled over the years hasn't had that kind of story. You know, they really haven't. You know, they've had other things that to me look a little more light duty in the sense of its intensity, but to that person, it was super huge. And we're going to kind of elaborate on that a little bit. So, but for most, this is not the case. The fact that it's some crazy, horrible, tragic story. Your dysfunction could have come from something as simple as not being heard by your parents. When a parent dismisses a kid's desires to connect, it creates an insecure attachment issue in that person's personality. This is probably the number one issue that I see with people that I work with, is that they have an insecure attachment, you know, issue. As an adult, that person may be prone to fits of rage when they feel like they're not being heard, or on the other side of the reactionary spectrum, isolate and fall into a deep depression, feeling like they don't matter or have any self-worth. This can be seriously problematic inside of an adult relationship, with a spouse or with even with like your boss at work or something like that. When we feel unheard and or dismissed, it erodes a part of us emotionally that should be attached to self-confidence. If you have that insecure attachment disorder, then you have a real problem attaching your validity to self-confidence. You know, that's a super huge thing. This person will struggle to believe that anyone loves them, or that they can depend on anyone to be there for them in their time of need. Many times they feel this in the face of a spouse or a loved one that is trying to be there for them. But when you're broken this way, you are unable to receive the love and connection you so deeply desire. It's an amazing case study to watch a person crave connection but be unable to receive that connection from their loved ones who are honestly trying to connect with them. It's insanity in the fuel that feeds reactionary compulsion such as chemical addiction or gives birth to compulsive behaviors like OCD, toxic control issues, anger, and narcissism. So yeah, let me kind of touch on that again. You know, it's very amazing and intriguing to see someone who desires so deeply to want to connect with people but can't connect with the people who are trying to connect with them. Think about that for a second. When you numb yourself out and you refuse to feel, you know, the hurt and the pain and the trauma that has happened in your life, then you lose the ability to be able to connect with others. This is vitally important, specifically in recovery, because we define sobriety as connection, healthy connection with those that help us stay sober. When that ability to connect has been eroded and you have an emotional cancer of denial, you know, in the middle of all that, then you don't have the ability to connect and you're completely isolated and you're completely out in left field without a glove. You're just kind of lost. And you want to connect, and the people around you want to connect with you. You just haven't figured out a way to make that happen. 100% of the people that I have worked with and the things that I went through in my own life pointed to the fact that I was not dealing with something that was hidden, a hidden trauma in my life. I had suppressed memories from the abuse of my childhood. And as I worked through these intensives in counseling, a lot of those things came back to my memory. A lot of those things came back to the surface. And boy, it was like a roller coaster of emotion. It was like a tsunami of this flood of emotion that would hit me when those memories would come back. And I was able to feel it. And I was able to deal with it. We have a saying inside of Celebrate Recovery, if you can't feel it, God can't heal it. So that so many times creates that insecure, you know, detachment, you know, issue and keeps us from being able to connect with people in a healthy way. So what do? Out of frustration, sometimes it comes subconsciously. Out of frustration, we act out. You know, we get angry, we get bitter, or we get reclusive, you know, and we get depressed and we get into a state of, you know, worthlessness and self-hatred, and we feel like we're never enough and we feel like no one really cares about us. And those are all lies. Those are absolute lies from the pits of hell. That's the enemy trying to feed, you know, the foundations of the destruction he's trying to weave into our lives. We have to break the creepy, toxic coding of denial to even begin to find help from such behaviors. And it sometimes doesn't start with admitting you have an addiction or compulsive behavior. There's like, I know that's kind of a stereotype, you know, step one kind of thing. Hello, my name is JR, I'm an alcoholic, or hello, my name is JR, I'm a heroin addict, you know, whatever it is. And admitting that you have a problem is step one, and it is step one. But you're admitting something that is at surface level. It takes you years of step study work and, you know, connection with healthy sponsors and accountability people that can challenge you and help grow you to get to the place where you're actually peeling the onion, the layers of your dysfunction off, and you're getting to this hidden trauma. You're getting to these hidden things in your life that were the legs and the pillars that your addiction stood on. That's why you got to keep going back to the meetings. That's why you got to keep on keeping on. And then my next line is, so those are only symptoms of a bigger problem. The root issue is, how have you been hurt? What happened in your past that laid the foundation of your dysfunction? The second you start healing the past trauma will be the beginning of watching a well-adjusted adult arise in that person. There's another line out of a book that I've read. I've read so many books, I can't keep them all straight, and I'm not trying to plagiarize anyone else's really cool saying, but there's a saying we say inside of Samson Society that if you heal the child, the adult will arise. You know, I don't know who actually coined that phrase originally, but it's not mine, and it makes 100%, you know, common sense when you think about it. Heal the child and the adult will arise. Heal the child, the man will come to the surface. Heal the child, the woman will come to the surface. Otherwise, you're just dealing with a pissed off kid in an adult body who doesn't understand his emotions and doesn't understand what he's doing and why he does what he does. I can't tell you how many times I've sat across the table from guys with anger issues who absolutely hated themselves because of the bitterness that they carried in the way they treated people. Like, they had huge amounts of shame and guilt from lashing out at their parents or their wife or their kids or kicking the dog or whatever it is that, that they were, you know, focusing that frustration on. You know, those people aren't cold, heartless people. They're broken people who need help. They're broken people who need to be taught and gently walk through the forest of their dysfunction, the forest of their pain and trauma, so that they can feel that and be able to get the man and the woman to come to the surface. Let's see. I myself have suppressed memories from my childhood trauma that only floated to the surface through intensive counseling, and I've known many others who had this exact issue as well. It's hard to heal something that you can't remember. But you can uncover these past traumas if you work hard with a counselor in creating those tough situations, recreating those tough situations of the past and gently walking through those valleys of abuse and neglect. It's damn hard work, and uncomfortable isn't a strong enough word to describe how it feels to relive some of that stuff. But you have to walk the gauntlet of your past memories, you know, so that things will surface and you'll be able to start reconnecting with the pain of those situations. Reconnecting hurts, but it is also, it also brings that stuff to the surface so that you can feel it and let it go. It's these hidden pathways of suffering that leads us to freedom. Notice how I am repetitively talking about being uncomfortable, suffering, pain, hurt, those kind of things. Those are not comfortable terms to have to digest, but they're necessary. Comfort is rarely compatible with growth. You can go to any gym and talk to any trainer and they'll tell you about that all day long. You, when you go to build your body up, you have to break it down to build it up. You literally are going in and ripping your muscles so that they can rebuild bigger. It's the same thing psychologically. You have to get into those dark, you know, corners of your mind, those dark corners of your past, and uncover the junk that has caused all this craziness that you're dealing with now. And it's uncomfortable. But the second you find comfort in that process of being uncomfortable, I know that kind of sounds like an oxymoron, but it really is, you know, a valid point. The sooner you get comfortable with that and understand that that always leads to freedom and that always breaks bondage that has been laying in your life sometimes for decades, then you start seeking that more and more. Once you get a little bit of freedom from that, then you come back to the counselor. You come back to the group. You come back to the recovery meeting. You say, I need more of this because I can feel this changing something in me. I can feel this bringing me to a place of wholeness, and I need more of that. That's when I know someone's really, truly sober. That's when I know someone is really, truly going to get where they want to go because they refuse to give up no matter how much it hurts and no matter how uncomfortable it is. So I kind of give an analogy of this. Imagine it as a man carrying a heavy load on his back he cannot see. He grows accustomed to carrying the load and barely notices it. But over time, it starts to take a toll on his knees and back. Because he can't see the load he's carrying, he doesn't understand why he's in such pain. That pain starts to change his disposition, and he grows angry and bitter, lashing out at his wife and kids because he doesn't understand why he is the way he is. Years pass as he accepts this as just being how life is. How many of us have done that? I know I have. I know I've been in those places of suffering, and I'm just like, you know what? Maybe I just need to ride this out. And you know what, guys? There are times in your life where that is the case, where you just got to dig in, dig your faith heels in, pull up your bootstraps, and put your big boy pants on, and just walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But that's not what we're getting at here, so let's not confuse those two things. Sadly, the man destroys his marriage and relationship with his kids over the pain he deals with every day. Then one day, he walks past a magic mirror that shows him the burden he's been carrying. Next, he goes to a friend to help him unpack the baggage that's been on his back all these years. Once the weight is lifted off his back, his knees and back stop hurting, and his anger and bitterness start to fade away. Guys, that magic mirror is God's word and connection with trained counselors that can help you unpack the hidden weight that's causing your dysfunction. It's not an overnight process, believe me. We all wish it was, but it's a process that leads to freedom and restoration. It's like any seed we plant in the ground. It must first be broken in order for it to grow. Being broken is never fun. The Bible calls it the refiner's fire. Sometimes God turns up the heat to get all the junk to rise to the surface so that he can skim it off and make us better people. I'll leave you with a scripture from a guy that knew a thing or two about screwing up and being in the refiner's fire. His name was Peter. This is from 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's a promise, guys. That's a promise from heaven. Let me read it again. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Who wants to be restored? Man, I do. Who wants to be confirmed and validated? Boy, yeah, me. Who wants to be strengthened in my time of weakness? Definitely chalk me up into that list. And then who wants to be established and be someone God can use and pour his glory into and through so they can help other people? Lord, that is my prayer each and every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the people that you have brought across our path. We thank you for the literature you have brought across our path, the podcast you brought across our path to lead us back toward you, to lead us out of the dark forest, out of the dark carnival of our dysfunction and our crazy psychotic insanity. Help us, Lord, to be brave. Help us to be courageous, to be able to stand up in the face of our pain and suffering and say, hey, I need to deal with this. The time is now. Ladies and gentlemen, I know there are people listening to this podcast right now who know exactly what I'm talking about, and this is hitting a nerve with you. This is by no coincidence. God is challenging you right now to pick up the phone and call the counselor that you know you've been wanting to call, or seek help, because God has been trying to draw you toward restoration. Guys, God is always reaching out into our dysfunction. He's always trying to pull purpose out of our problems. It is his will for you to be whole, to be healthy. Lord, help us to see that. Reveal that to us like we're five-year-olds. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy throughout this whole process. I thank you that you love angry people, that you love bitter people, that you hung on the cross for those of us that have hurt the people we love most because we didn't know how to deal with our emotions. We didn't know how to deal with our past trauma, and we have never understood why we are the way we are. We cast down all of the enemy's lies that are telling us that we are just evil, that we are just broken beyond repair. We cast that down in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that through the power of Jesus Christ. If you're someone who's struggling with those kind of thoughts and those kind of demented ideas, I just pray restoration and deliverance into your life right now, that the Holy Spirit will come into your car, come into your earbuds or into your room, wherever it is that you are listening to this podcast right now, and minister to you and break the strongholds that the enemy has had on you for years, maybe decades. And Lord, I pray that you guide these people to connect with healthy people that can lead them out of the dark carnival. Lord, we never stop giving you praise. We never stop giving you glory. We never stop confessing that it's only through you and through your grace and through your mercy, Lord, that we find value, validation, acceptance, love, and mercy. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you have found value in this podcast, please consider giving to this ministry. The Truth Labyrinth is only one aspect of Restoration Ministries. We raise money regularly for needy people right here in our own community. Just this past Christmas season, we raised over $1,000 for a woman struggling with spinal cancer and was able to bring hope to someone who had lost all hope. We've bought handicap vans for the disabled. We paid utility bills for single moms. And we've paid for hundreds of casual meals for those who were in need of one-on-one counseling, but uncomfortable with an office environment. Listen, guys, sometimes it's much easier for someone to open up and ask for help over a meal than it is to walk into a counselor's office and lay on a couch. God has and is using Restoration Ministries in ways that break traditional church protocol. I personally believe we have to earn the right to speak into someone's life, and it takes time to build those bridges, many times unraveling years of church hurt and dysfunction. This is what Christian ministry should look like in today's world. God should be glorified through our efforts to help the world around us, but it takes resources to do these things. For years, I've paid for a lot of these things out of my own pocket without hesitation. Or I've organized a benefit concert or some kind of fundraising campaign to provide these services for the people that God puts in my pathway. I will continue to give to these causes with everything that I have, but I need your support. It takes money and time to produce this podcast. Many hours go into praying over and organizing these messages, not to mention actually recording the messages and all the post-production editing and stuff that needs to happen with that. This ministry isn't about building an empire. It's about connecting hungry hearts with the fruit of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have no aspirations of becoming some wealthy preacher or tycoon ministry leader. I am content with the world that I live in, and my little world is pretty peaceful and satisfying. I definitely don't need the drama that comes along with big ministry and tycoon leadership egos. I'm just trying to make my tiny little piece of the world better. I need your support. So please pray about supporting this ministry financially. I will post links in the notes of this podcast so that you can send your gift online. Next, please subscribe to this podcast and leave a review so others can see what's going on here, especially your 5-star reviews. The more you review us, the higher we rank in search listings, and this allows people to discover us easier. Finally, please pray for this ministry. Pray God will provide for our needs here at the Truth Labyrinth. Pray that God will bring this podcast across the screens of those that need to hear these messages. The Bible tells us that God's ear is upon the lips of the righteous. Guys, He hears our prayers. And we need His constant guidance for each and every podcast and everything that Restoration Ministries does. So pray that He uses this podcast to turn hearts of stone into hearts of flesh, and that His truth will turn those hearts toward His eternal mercy and grace. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. My prayer is that it blessed you and brought you a fresh understanding of our lives in this world and our need for unity in Christ. A brush fire of revival in Jesus Christ is our only hope for satisfaction and true joy as we walk out the human experience that is our day-to-day lives. It's been my sincere honor to be your host today at the Truth Labyrinth Podcast. Be blessed and be a blessing to those around you. Till next time, I leave you with a scripture from Ephesians 6:23-24. Peace be with you, dear brothers and sisters, and may God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you love with faithfulness. May God's grace be eternally upon all who love our Lord Jesus Christ.